Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to another episode of the Live the Fuel Show. Today, we have a new and welcomed female guest co-host. This young lady does a number of things, actually. She's from California. She's the voice of Thursday nights on ABC. She's a stand-up comic, and she's also an author, a new author, I should say, of the Eat Happy Cookbook, a voiceover professional, a co-host of the Fitness Confidential with Vinny Tortorich, one of my top favorite podcasts, and a fellow lifestyle promoter of the NSNG Lifestyle. I'll just go ahead and define that now, the No Sugars, No Grains. Please welcome to the show, Anna Vocino.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited.
That was a nice intro.
I try. You got a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah,
I had to make notes.
I try to do a lot of stuff and then eventually something sticks, right?
Well, what do they say? You throw a lot on the wall and a lot of stuff and maybe it'll stick.
Yeah, I like throwing things on walls. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So I had to get you on the show because, and for our listeners that listen to the show, this is our intro and outro voice for Live the Fuel Show.
So, I need to listen to it.
Yes.
I think that's really weird. I've guessed it on some podcasts that I did. Because like I'm very open about that. Like I'll help out Michael O'Neill's community and I'll pretty much help out anybody who emails me and asks me about it.
And we appreciate it.
Because, you know, why not? And also, too, because, you know, the great Don LaFontaine, who is the movie trailer guy voice, who passed away a few years ago, he's the guy who invented the In a World, you know, that read.
Oh.
Don LaFontaine is his name. And basically, he was a movie trailer producer, and they didn't used to have that kind of voiceover on movie trailers. And then he made it really intense, and he has that amazing voice. So he invented that whole genre, basically. Anyway, so we had him on a show that I was shooting at the time called Free Radio, and we had him on as a guest. And he told me that he would basically record anybody's phone voicemail who asked him. And I was like, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Just
to have Don LaFontaine
just
do
anybody.
Your phone voice. Yeah. If anybody stopped, if anybody was like, oh, nice to meet you, can you just, like, and handed him their cell phone, he would do their voicemail.
So this guy just truly loved what he did.
He just loved it. And he was this nicest guy. And that like stuck with me. So, you know, that's a little area where I can help. But that being said, I do get myself into a little bit of trouble because I have to tell, I don't know if I had to guide you as much, but there are people where I'm like, no one's going to listen to a minute long intro. Don't do it.
I remembered that because we were literally kind of like in a rush because Michael and a number of other people, and a guy, by the way, guys, we're talking about Michael O'Neill, the Solopreneur Hour podcast. He was episode 001. But we're in like a similar coaching group together. And I remember because you immediately got back to me right away, like, well, just keep in mind what you wanted me to say. Make sure it's not too long. And I said, I'm short and sweet and to the point. I don't need a dissertation.
I like that. I really like that because I think that now that we're all able to write our own copy and put it up on the internet at any time, right? Whether it's a blog post or a podcast, or, you know, we're all able to put up content. So it's really, especially if you have the issue of over-explaining things, which I have that same issue, but I don't like receiving a script that's too long that I know is going to turn off your listeners. So don't do it. Make it brief. Brevity. Brevity.
Yeah, I would hope that I was in your top five briefest. I don't know.
Yours was like way easy.
Actually, it's funny because I showed it to my VA and Martin's like, is that all you sent her? I said, yeah. That's all I need. Yeah. I mean, I don't. Well, who needs to run a dissertation? They're already going to be listening to shows that are probably going to be anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes long. So why don't you get, hopefully that you have an excited listener base
that
want to get to the show.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Most people skip. You have that 30-second or 15-second forward button. Most people skip it. So if they know that it's short, they're not going to skip it.
Right.
They're going to listen to it and listen to what you have to say.
And it's funny you bring that up because there's all of us who do podcasting. I'm sure you do. Do you probably have like your top five, top 10 shows that are already kind of subscribed to?
Yeah.
But I will say there's a couple of them and I'm not trying to bash them, but I'm like, okay, guys, with your commercials and your little, you know, I know you guys got to get paid, but I've timed them now. They've increased it to, it's like a 5 minutes of crap before I can get to the show. So I'm literally sitting there, skip. I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
I think subconsciously, that's why Vinny and I organically fit them in.
Yeah.
And we might even do half an ad and then get sidetracked and talk about something else and then come back and do the rest of the ad. That's more our style because we don't do a lot of like drops is what they call them. You know, when you drop the ad in, which is nothing wrong with that. It's just like we try to explain to our sponsors, if you're going to go with us, first of all, we have to be able to talk whatever language that we want to. Yep. Second of all, you have to trust that we never even take on a sponsor unless we love the product. We have to love the product. So that's why we don't have that many sponsors. But
you shouldn't need to, right? I mean, unless you want to be full of ads.
Exactly. That's the thing. And then it gets full of ads. And we already are because I'm trying to sell a book that's coming out, you know, and listen, I have loved doing this podcast. I've gone on a journey of my own like weight loss health exploration that's been really great. But at the end of the day, I was inspired to write this book. I took 3 years to do it and I want you guys to buy it. So I'm like, I don't honestly care to sell a bunch of other people's products. I want to sell my product now, right now.
No, that's what I love about it. Like you've been on that show for so long. I've been listening for well over a year and a half now. I forget how I found you guys. It might've been on maybe Michael's episodes or something like that. Cause I'd been following his podcast for a while.
Yeah.
And you guys have actually, have you guys changed names since the beginning?
Yeah. Vinny has changed the name.
It's a little confusing.
And didn't tell me because I even wrote on the back of my book, like, she's the co-host of the Angriest Trainer podcast with Vinny Tortorich.
Oh, that's right.
And I was like, and I wish I had time to change it, but now it's Fitness Confidential to match the book, which is honestly what it probably should have been at the beginning. But it doesn't matter. If you search Vinny Tortorich or Anna Vecino in iTunes, we come up there. So
yeah, and I just have to tell people, I'm like, listen, you all have websites. You all have enough online history that even if you Google the old name or the new name, they're going to find you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sucks that you had to print the wrong name on the back of the book, though.
Well, not my wrong name. It's his wrong name.
Yeah.
But it says his name, so it doesn't matter. He's got bigger fish to fry. He doesn't care.
So if people do like your voice today, and now it is true, they would actually either search for your name, Anna Vocino, that's V-O-C-I-N as in Nancy O, or they're going to look for Fitness Confidential.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we are officially on to the new branding. Okay.
It's fun, baby. Fitness Confidential podcast.
He needs to get a like a Facebook page too, by the way. Like I'm always tagging you guys and I can't tag him. So it's gotten better though.
He hates Facebook.
I know.
I mean, is anybody in love with Facebook?
Oh God, no. I mean, I do business on Facebook, so I have to embrace it from a marketing standpoint. I don't care if you like it or you don't.
Yeah, you know, you have to deal with it. My rule is just make sure you go on it when you're in a good mood because then it's fun and convivial and you can post stuff and you're happy to see things and stuff. But if you go on in a bad mood, that'll be the time that you see all the terrible posts, all the mean political stuff, all the nastiness. So only go on Facebook when you're in a good mood and then it'll be a good experience. That's what I say.
Actually, yeah. So when people are looking up Eat Happy, your cookbook, which I've already bought in both versions. So
thank you.
And again, guys, just so you guys know, she released it digitally, which was actually, at first I thought, well, that's weird. And I think I was one of the people, I commented on it because I'm like, it's a digital cookbook. I mean, I've only ever seen physical cookbooks, so this is something new. And then I remember I commented because I was like, oh, well, I only have iPhones and iPads, so I can't look at it. And I forget, somebody else in your group mentioned, they said, actually, you can. There's an app for that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Amazon should write Vinny and myself a thank you note about that because I was shocked because I have a Kindle app on my iPad and that's how I read all my books.
Yeah.
And but I also have a Kindle, but then my husband stole that. But I feel like also too, Kindle has enabled me to just hemorrhage cash because I have like 125 books that I need to read.
Right.
But I keep buying more books. Do you do that too?
I do that with Audible. Because I listen to audiobooks.
Get it.
So that's a crack list.
Like they tell you have 6 credits. You're not going to get another credit unless you buy something. So I'll go in and buy like 6 things that I never listen to them.
Yeah.
Although I did listen to Amy Schumer's book and it was great. A little plug there for my person I've never met, who I wish was my friend, Amy Schumer.
Well, actually, and my girlfriend, she would actually agree with you on that because she's watched everything that she's come out with so far. And
me too. I love her.
She's now sharing my Audible account, so I'm going to have to go ahead and mark that
for
her.
Oh, yeah, get her that. But if she hasn't read the physical copy, tell her she got to download that. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we both like travel a lot and drive a lot. So that's why the Audible books are just perfect. You just plug it in and go. And I think she's actually starting to kick my ass on the voracious consumer capability because she's just crushing books now. So.
Oh, that's good.
But the best part, though, is a year ago, she thought digital audiobooks were silly. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. She's like, I just physically read a book. And I said, you're in the car a lot. I guarantee you. Just try it. I was like, here's my login. Go download some books. And then you tell me if you're not hooked within 2 weeks. And now she'll like go through like a book or two a week.
I know it does because, especially when you find a good one. I got to say, performance is everything with these audiobooks.
Yes. And now,
authors are great at reading their own book, and some authors should have outsourced it.
I was going to ask you that because you're the voiceover person. So you probably want everybody to do, obviously, hire a voiceover artist. But then again, I love the audiobooks that
no, not necessarily.
People read their own.
Yeah, it depends on, you know, if the person, like Vinny reading his book is perfect because he goes off the cuff and off the page and puts in extra stories. I'm actually in the process of recording an audiobook for the cookbook, which I'm able to put in a lot more stories, a lot more tips, more jokes, more anecdotes in the audiobook version because you don't have room for all of that in a cookbook. You need to just get to the recipes.
Oh, and that's why I think everybody should do that.
And also, nobody does an audiobook. Of a cookbook, by the way. Nobody does that. So you better make it more interesting than just reading recipes off a page.
I think you got something there because, again, part of that healthy lifestyle I like to talk about on this show is that, hey, this is awesome because we're talking to somebody who's literally made a cookbook. And this is cool because I love to learn new recipes and try and find new ways just because when people think, oh, well, you're super, super healthy, you can't do a lot. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, it's all about herbs and spices.
Yep.
But I don't have a
herbs,
clue.
Herbs, spices, and seasoning are where it's at. And then the fat is basically the conduit for carrying that flavor. Because if you just ate a piece of protein or a vegetable on its own, it doesn't have a lot of flavor. Or sometimes a vegetable has a bitter flavor.
Yeah.
So you always want to make sure you have some fat and some seasoning in there to give it life.
Oh, I mean, I make a 5-egg omelet every morning. I'm a huge
Ooh,
egg nut.
Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's all about the eggs. That's perfect food. You and Vinny talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
And I tell people, I'm like, well, what do you, I don't use nonstick spray anymore. I use this.
No.
I use this amazing olive oil that I heard about. And I have a giant tin of it in my cabinet.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's like, why did you order a giant box of olive oil from Italy? And I said, oh, you'll know real soon.
Yeah. So you know what? Stay out of it until you taste it. Okay.
That's what I told her. I'm like, dude, it's legit. I mean,
it is.
You guys weren't kidding.
No.
I kept hearing it and hearing it. I'm like, I'm not going to spend $100 on olive oil. And then I'm like, wait a minute.
I did a shot of it yesterday, actually, because I had a show to do at the Comedy Store and I didn't want to like eat a big dinner, you know? So I had like an apple and some peanut butter and then I did a shot of olive oil and I hadn't done just a straight shot of olive oil in like a couple of months. And it was so like, it made me cough because it has that Puglia pinch and I had forgotten about that.
Yes. And by the way, to our listeners, we're talking about Villa Capelli olive oil and that's what that Puglia pinch. And am I saying that right? Is it Puglia?
Puglia.
Yeah. Irish bloodline here. I'm trying.
Well, I thought you said Irish bloodline here. I'm drunk.
Yeah.
You said I'm trying. I know, but it sounded like you said I'm drunk,
oh.
Which, you know.
Okay. There you go.
Well, you said you're Irish. I don't know.
I cannot pronounce things very well, though. But that Puglia is where it's at. I never did a shot of olive oil ever until you two talked about that. And now I do it. I actually do it. I try and remember to do it like every morning now. I'm not even kidding you. I just made it a part of my morning
routine.
Yeah,
it's good, right?
It's good. Yeah, it's weird at first.
It can't hurt.
No.
To do a shot of olive oil every morning.
Well,
better than eating pancakes every morning.
Yeah, and pumping yourself full of grain and crap.
Yeah,
so let's talk about that.
Okay, let's
talk about NSNG.
Let's get real, Scott.
Let's get into this here, okay? We're talking about eHappy Cookbooks. We're talking about olive oil. We're talking about a healthy fitness confidential podcast, but... Really, the NSNG message is what I'm loving. And I've been preaching this for a while. And I'll tell you, I probably got more committed to that NSNG, no sugars, no grains lifestyle just by listening to you guys, because I already dabbled in it anyway.
Right.
Because I know, I mean, Vinny, I know, doesn't hugely approve of the CrossFitter lifestyle, but I'm a CrossFitter and I'm a CrossFit coach, so suck it. But hey, you know what? In the end, we're talking about fitness, we're talking about health. Why not? I mean, as long as people are trying to live a better life, I don't care. And I think the NSNG is an important message to get out there, and your book is going to really help people with that.
I hope so. I want it to. Giving up sugars and grains is an interesting thing, because the first question that we always get, and it's the first question that I had too 4 years ago, was like, okay, well, what do I eat?
Yeah.
And you don't realize that there are a ton of things that you can still eat. Fruits and vegetables and meats and fats and seeds and nuts and dairy, if you have dairy. I'm not right now, but I do sometimes. Dairy is inflammatory for my body because I have autoimmune. I have celiac. So, and dairy seems to incite that autoimmune response in me.
Yes.
So I never have gluten ever, ever, ever. That will never be like a life into living cheat that I have. I'll never do that. But I will have some dairy as my cheat. And in fact, when I was in Paris and Italy back in June, I got to go stay at Villa Capelli for a couple nights. And I ate all the cheese. Like... all the cheese. And then finally my body was like, my body shut down. Like, it was like systematically, my digestive system was like shutting down on me.
Well, also, if you don't do it very often and you have celiac, it's like, yeah, it's going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah. So that's a thing too. Like, people are scared that I'm going to tell them to give up dairy, because paleo, which is similar to NSNG, is very strict about don't have dairy and don't have legumes.
I tell people that too, but I'm like, I follow the paleo-ish lifestyle as well. So
yeah, I'm ish. I'll still have green beans. I'll still have some peanut butter. I don't always have almond butter, because peanut butter is just so good.
Yeah.
But you know, one thing that it's taught me too, when you give up sugars and grains, another thing is, like, you don't realize how much something that should just be a jar of peanut butter is processed and has all these other ingredients in it. Then you start looking at ingredients and you're like, holy crap. Like, yeah. What?
Well, it's
why,
like,
does that have sugar and palm oil and high fructose corn syrup? And you know what I mean? It's like, can it just be? So you have to look for the peanut butter jar that's just peanuts and salt.
And that's hard. It's very
that's hard.
Hard
to find.
I mean, we've got Trader Joe's. We just got our first Whole Foods out here. So we've got a plenty. There's actually a chain out here that's really, really a high-end grocery store called Wegmans from Rochester, New York.
Oh, Wegmans is super nice.
Oh, yeah. So we have
three
of those
here. My mom was in love
with
Wegmans, and we would always go to Wegmans whenever I went to go visit her.
Oh, it's great. But yeah. These stores try, and they've now created their little, you know, healthy organic aisle, or which is just loaded with grain.
It's loaded. It's like a joke. But when Vinny and I did KABC this past week, the lady who screens the calls, her name is Charu, and she's this beautiful, tiny little thing. And she comes in and she goes, I need your book. And I was like, yeah, okay, great. And she says, I walk into Whole Foods and I have a panic attack. And I was like, what do you mean? And she goes, because they have all the juices and the kombuchas and I don't even know what to buy. And I said, don't buy any of them.
Yep.
That makes it easy. Just the juice wall is off the table.
It's just way too much concentrated sugar.
Gone. And then she goes, what about like the salad? It's like she was literally walking into my trap. She's like, what about the salads? Like all the quinoa salads.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, guess what? That's off the table too. It's a grain. So you know what I mean? Once you know these things, it becomes a lot easier to do your shopping, because Whole Foods will have you believe, and Sprouts too, and all of them that have the natural foods will have you believe that all of them are a health food, but not necessarily. You still have got to investigate a little deeper and be a little more conscious while you're doing your grocery shopping.
Yeah. What cracks me up is I see people, and I'm not a coupon person, but you know, I'm going with this mm-hmm. one. You got these women or men too. And they'll spend that half an hour, 2 hours clipping coupons to save money. So it's like, okay, you spend all that time researching coupons, and then you come to me and you're telling me that we start talking about living a healthier lifestyle, we're talking about nutrition, we're talking about helping them find a way to do a more efficient job in the grocery store. Like, I mean for the longest time I've always been, hey, the classic tip is, you know, stick to the perimeter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go with the fresh foods, stay out of the aisles,
right?
Now some of these stores are starting to change that a little bit, so I got to be very careful with that explanation, but for the most part it's still true. But then they're like, well, I don't have time to read labels. I need to get in. It takes me a half an hour to get in and out of the grocery store anyway. I'm like, wait a minute. You have 2 hours to clip coupons.
Yeah.
But you can't spend 5 minutes to read some labels of some peanut butter jars to make sure you're not getting a giant sugar dump down your throat.
Yeah. I mean, it's like with anything. If you're going to make a big life change, like if you're going to start exercising, you have to make time for it. If you're going to start eating healthier and cooking at home, you have to make time for it. There's going to be a learning curve. If you're going to, you know, start your own business, you have to make time for it. Like all this stuff is like, it's common sense. So usually when people tell me those resistance things, I am like, okay, well, when you're ready, you'll do it.
Yep. It took me a long time to get to that point from, because I do some health coaching on the side too, just because I've always been a fitness junkie. And I have my own nutritional business on the side too. But I tell people, I'm like, in the beginning, I was just so hardcore about trying to get people healthy. I let my energy overwhelm them. And then, years later, it's like, listen, I only have so much bandwidth in my life as it is. So I don't have that much time. So you either take this seriously or you don't. And if you're not, maybe I'll talk to you in a year. I mean, I'll always be here. I'll still be the fit guy.
Well, that's part of the problem with I call it adopting children. when you take on other people's thing and try to fix it for them. You know, that's a common thing to do with somebody who is really like at your heart, you're a teacher, you're an uplifter and you want to like help people. But you can't take on everybody. So you can't adopt all the children. You know what I mean?
It's hard.
It is hard because you want to be like, no, trust me. That's the same mistake I made. Just don't make it. And it's going to be so much easier for you. Oh no, you're going to make it. Okay. Go ahead. Fly the coop.
Yeah.
It's part of it.
Well, I mean, so when you started figuring out kind of, I don't know if you're, you guys have got to be familiar with this term, our boy Dave Asprey out there, the bulletproof man. The biohacker. It's funny. So I started using that term.
Did he invent that phrase or did Tim Ferriss invent the phrase?
You know, I don't know that. That's a great question.
Have Dave Asprey and Tim Ferriss ever had like a cage match?
I think it would be very interesting.
I would like to see that.
But you see, Tim will be, everything will be focused on 4 hours. And Dave... he'll be like, it'll man, I'll spend 2 weeks hacking this thing. I don't care.
I love both of them.
They're very committed. You got to respect them for that. They're very passionate.
And I've learned a ton from both of them.
I have as well.
But I would like to see them just have a cage match where they... No, I want to literally see them have a physical altercation in a UFC cage match.
Really? Why?
That's what I'm... Why not?
Well, they both claim to be fit. So I got you there.
They both look pretty fit. Let's see it.
It could be, you know, the 4 hour versus the bulletproof, you know.
Yeah. See what happens. Just let them throw down.
Who's going to run the clock out? I like this. Oh my God. That'd be ridiculous. I'm just picturing those two in my head doing this.
Yeah.
Right,
a little
now.
Ultimate fighter between like, what are they probably like 37 and 43 year old men?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although
we'll see what happens.
And again, I respect both of these gentlemen and what they're doing and their brands. But I have to say, I have a feeling that Dave would just talk him to death in the fight.
Probably.
He's a very intelligent man.
And Tim Ferriss did. He was the something champion, some sort of martial arts member.
Oh yes, yeah. He does have a martial art background.
So he might have the advantage.
So he'll have the physical skill advantage, and Dave will work on the verbal. That would be a ridiculous fight. But I like the point with it. He went there. Let's speak on the biohacking thing, and people are like, what's a biohacker? I'm like, you know, I'm still trying to kind of finalize my own definition because I'm starting to do some of what they do. Because now you could do these, I don't know, have you done the 23andMe tests and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't done that yet. I still haven't done it.
I'm 2% black. That was the most exciting news that came out of that, which meant I'm 2% cooler than I thought I was.
But is that what your goal was out of the test?
My goal was to be more black than that.
Okay. All right. Well.
No, I had no idea. I thought it was going to come back, 50% Italian and then 50% French, English, and Irish. And it came back quite more mutt-like.
Yeah.
And
I think we're all
and that was cool to see. A lot of Balkan and a lot of, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, that's cool. But then I took, because you know how you can take the data
and download apply it to health and fitness.
And put it into like geneticgenie.org or whatever.
Oh, so they don't do that. 23andMe? I thought you pay for another level of the testing.
Well, I think they're starting to bring it back, but I did it 2 years ago when it was illegal for them to release the medical predictions of like, now they're starting to say you're not genetically, but you can take the raw data and download it after you do the test and put it into any number of open source websites and get back the medical, you know, what you're predisposed.
Yeah, because they give you all those little codes, the letters, numbers, and stuff.
Oh, it's like a million. Like your genetic code is like literally like stacks and stacks of papers of letters and numbers.
Yeah, I saw some samples of it. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, who do I got to pay to analyze this?
Well, you don't. Just go to geneticgenie.org, and there's a bunch of other ones. But that one in particular, nice. I remember. And it came back because I was working with a functional medicine doctor because we were trying to troubleshoot why when I went low carb, when I went super low carb and was eating a lot of dairy, yeah. I screwed up my thyroid. And so we were trying to like figure out what's going on. You know what I mean? And that was one of the components. And
this was your earlier days of NSNG or?
Yeah, this was about almost exactly 2 years ago. And because now I've been pretty much dairy free for 2 years after I did all the blood tests that said, oh no, you are really not doing well if you eat dairy. So I was like using, when I went low carb, when I went NSNG and when I on purpose went into ketosis because I wanted to try it out. And I really liked the way I felt on it. But then I was relying on dairy and that was making my body very inflamed.
Were you using dairy for your fat source?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's an easy snack just to grab a piece of cheese or,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And for breakfast, you know, full fat Greek yogurt with some toasted nuts in it and some blueberries is great. You know what I mean? Like it's just easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and also too, what came up was I ate too many eggs and I developed an egg allergy. Now, egg allergies are very easy to, you just stop eating eggs for like 6 months and you can pick it back up and just don't overdo it like I was doing. You know what I mean? And again, this is person specific. I have autoimmune. My body is extremely sensitive. I've had terrible allergies. When I was pregnant, I threw up every day for 6.5 months. Like
oh,
I just,
God.
The world is trying to say, like, maybe you're just too allergic to us. I'm one of those, though. And I know I'm not alone. There are other people out there who are dealing with autoimmune and how it kind of screws up your gut, how it screws up the rest of your body. So anyway, so the 23andMe allowed me to put that data in there and work with the functional medicine doctor to see I'm one of the people. There are some of us out there who don't methylate vitamins very well. So I need to have the active form of a vitamin. So when you combine not being able to methylate a vitamin with an inflamed gut that can't absorb nutrients, with an inflamed gut that also has bacterial dysbiosis.
Wow. You got a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. So it's been literally like constant healing. And then Scott, let's be honest, who's going to like just eat really well for like all the time?
It's true.
Do that?
No, I mean it's
you know
like
I mean?
If you walk into I'll go ahead and bring up a CrossFit competition, right? I mean, those you go to a competition, it's like there's 4 or 5 workouts programmed that day, and yeah, you might have like an hour off in between each workout, so everybody's going back and they're refueling, and everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Some people got their peanut butters and their bananas and their berry mixes. Other people got like their, you know, their paleo meals all prepackaged in the Tupperware. Other people are down in their shakes and like the, you know, it's great because, yeah.
Well, and life happens. You know what I mean? It's like if it's. I always allow myself something on my birthday and on Christmas, but if I'm going to go to Paris and Italy I haven't been there in 5 years, I'm going to eat all the cheese.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Oh, you should have been at our house last night. Well, my girlfriend had her annual ladies' night wine and cheese.
Oh, see, that's what I like.
Yeah. I mean, they go to town. They cover the tables with that black like chalk paper. So they handwrite all the different cheeses on there and you have everything displayed. I mean, it was ridiculous. I got home. I purposely stayed out later when I got back from Pittsburgh. I did not show up. I wanted to give them all the ladies, the house themselves.
Yeah.
So I went to go see a movie. So
yeah.
I come back. It's probably almost midnight. There's still like 4 left. There's still 4. Like, you got those late night ladies still holding on. They're calling Uber to get a ride home.
Yeah. They're wasted.
And there's almost all the cheese is gone.
That sounds like a magical party.
It was,
like that's,
yeah.
That's great.
There's a lot of recycling going out. In the form of wine bottles and apparently some vodka bottles too. So there was definitely some putting life into living last night in my house.
Yeah, that's somebody going, I don't want to have all the sugar from the wine, so let's just switch to vodka.
I have a feeling so, yes.
And then you go, do you need to switch? Actually, maybe you should just switch to water. I don't know.
Like, I mentioned that to a couple of ladies
me,
like at home
way.
Last night. Yeah.
That's me. I'm like, you know what? I've had 3 glasses of the wine. That's too much sugar. Yeah. I'm going to have a vodka. It's like, should you? Maybe you should stop drinking for the night. Nope. Going to have the vodka.
Well, you know what cracks me up is Vinny, he brings up, what does he like? He likes to drink a good scotch.
Yeah.
But now technically, isn't that a sugary liquor? Right? Don't they say clears over browns? That's what I've always said anyway.
That's what I've always heard, but he seems to think that all the distilled liquors are pretty low. They're the lowest in sugar.
That's what I was going to ask next, because I know the distillation process.
Rum to me tastes very sweet, you know?
Yeah.
And rum's a distilled liquor. You know, the Celiac Foundation said when I was first diagnosed in 2002 not to have any distilled liquor made from grains. And then they changed it a few years back, saying the gluten doesn't pass through the distillation process. So you can have any distilled liquor. But now I'm hearing from functional medicine doctors don't have, you know, so it's like, I think it goes back and forth. Does it pass
it goes
through?
Back to
Is it sugary? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a very extreme case, right? So one of the athletes that goes to my girlfriend's CrossFit gym that she goes to, we don't go to the same place. We work out separately. It's a good thing. What is she say? The vodka. Oh, there's a vodka distiller that opened up on their own farm. So they grow their own. But they grow all their own grains. So it's grain derived vodkas.
Right.
But he said, I went on the tour. You know, they explained all the science. They showed all the fancy shiny equipment.
Yeah.
And he said that like those towers. I guess when they're making like gin and stuff like that, you got these big tall vertical towers that have to let all that gas and stuff go up. He said that level of distillation, he said, because it's distilled multiple times. He said, that does not survive. He's like, there's no gluten left in there at all. He's like,
I think that's probably right. Because, I've toured, there's one called Green Bar Distillery that's the only one in the Los Angeles area. And I've toured over there, and it's amazing watching them, you know, take all the mash that they make for the whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
And then seeing all the gin and all the herbals, and it's really cool how they make all the stuff, but it's such a process.
Yeah. I really think that somebody from the health world or the fitness nut world, like we're all kind of interconnected in, needs to kind of help really fully come out with some type of scientific white paper proving, hey guys, if you guys really have issues with grains, gluten, things of that nature, like, but you really want to put a little life into living and you want to feel good when you go to the bar with friends, you know, if you want to drink a real high-end, top quality gin or vodka on the rocks with just maybe a little mint or something in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously we're not talking about adding in all those crappy fruit juices.
No, vodka soda with lime. That's my go-to.
That's it. You don't
or
need.
Or tequila soda with lime. You know, when you are doing these, there are vodka, like Ciroc vodka is made from grapes. So that's good, technically not a grain.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Blue Ice vodka is made from potatoes. Oh gosh, there's another brand now I'm forgetting. But all the big ones are grain because it's just cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Grey Goose, Kettle One, Sky, Smirnoff, all of them are made
from
grains.
Kettle One's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always do it dirty.
Dirty martini?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now you're talking.
Olives, man. Especially when
olives.
Especially when they stuff them with like jalapenos or something like that and get a little fire, a little kick.
Olives and salami are like my go-to snacks now that I'm not doing the dairy. So we buy a lot of olives in this house.
Like that's a popular snack for you guys. And that's all I hear from Vinny and his very hot, famous wife is that that's what they use with their all their running background.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of blows my mind because I've done marathons and half marathons, never done the ultras yet. And I'm like, man, I've never thought about it that way. Like truly being
crazy,
fat adapted.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll take out on a long bike ride. He'll take, as long as it's not super hot so it won't turn rancid, he'll bring olive oil and drink olive oil on the bike.
Well, the best part is I still have some of those, like, those glue, they call them goo flasks because that one gel manufacturer is called goo. So I have those little plastic portable containers you can stick in your pocket. And I'm like, you know, I think next time I'm on a big bike ride, I'm going to dig that out of my old fitness gear and I'm going to fill it with olive oil.
Yeah. Why not?
But yeah, that's a very good point about olive oil and being rancid. I did not realize that stuff years ago either. I would buy whatever's off the high-end shelf. And, you know, people don't realize clear glass. Luckily, I store it in a cabinet, like in the kitchen cabinet, so it's not exposed. But people don't realize how rancid that stuff can get.
It's very sensitive to sun. And I keep mine, I have like I decant it into this, you know, rectangular-shaped ceramic jug that has the little spigot at the top.
Yep.
But even if you're decanting it into a glass bottle, you should probably put it away and put it up in the cabinet.
I purposely spent about an hour online on Amazon finding white porcelain bottles with those little things on the top. You're talking about like the the bartender pours.
Yep.
Just so in case my girlfriend or somebody would forget and leave it out, I wouldn't have to worry about it being ruined because Villa Capelli is just that good. I don't want to waste it.
I know, and you're paying good money for it, so don't.
It's freaking
don't waste
awesome.
It.
And yeah, I mean, your show, it's so good. You guys and your show just keep selling them out. I saw your social media posts because I was about to get ready to order some for a friend. It's now become like my gift thing. I actually will buy. I'm ordering another big tin.
That's great.
And I'm gonna actually take. I'm gonna order a case of those little porcelain pourer bottles. And then I'm just gonna put like samplings. You know, I'm gonna fill them all up, and then there'll be like a little. There'll be a little gifts I get. And people are like, you're giving people olive oil for a gift? I'm like, yeah, it's that good.
Yeah, I would love to get that as a gift. That's a great like host or hostess gift when you go to somebody's Christmas party.
Like, hey, here's a bottle of wine. There's your sugar, probably bad, but hey, here's some healthy fats. Okay, because I care about you, and you need to actually enjoy something that tastes good.
Listen, a glass of wine is not crazy, but the problem is that most of us rarely just, when we open a bottle of wine, we rarely just have one glass of wine.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And then there's those server techniques at the restaurants where they open your bottle of wine for you and they come back.
And then they just keep refilling it when it's like down.
And you don't know.
An inch. No, you don't know.
And it's like.
And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, we drank that bottle?
Yeah. It
How did we do that?
That whole bottle's gone before the main entree gets there. How does that happen?
They like, know how it happens.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to sell you another bottle.
It's a whole technique. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They want their money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with it, to be honest with you. But I just don't want to be going through two bottles of wine if it's just my girlfriend and I, because that's
right.
not good.
Because that's a bottle of wine each. And then you will feel the sugar from that.
Yeah. And then if you're not a Uber person and you drove to that dinner, you have another all kind of repercussion coming off of that.
Yeah. Not good.
Be safe, people.
Be safe, people. We have talked about alcohol a lot.
We have, yeah. We have to balance that a little bit. But here's why. Because now, I haven't actually dug all the way through the whole book yet, but you could almost come up with like a secondary follow-up book on pairings, right?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people are always looking for like, what do I pair with this meal? And I mean, because your recipes are so NSNG, healthy fat related, you know, good veggie source, good proteins. I'd just be interested to see if there's like a follow-up to that, like maybe a little.
Well, I do have a bonus that's for, it's creates 4 weeks of dinners from the cookbook, with Sunday being, you know, having more courses because you have more time allegedly on Sunday if you don't work Sundays. But yeah, I'm actually about 40 recipes into the next cookbook because it never stops.
Wow. These are all your recipes, right?
Huh?
Are these all your recipes?
Like yeah. I mean, unless it's like Jackie's split pea soup. I stole that from Jackie.
Okay.
And with her permission, I stole it. And Tori's fried chicken legs, that's one of my favorite recipes. Tori generously let me steal that. They're all my recipes. I cook all the time. I experiment all the time. I sit there. I get bored of eating the same thing over and over again. I guess, you know, I've been married 17 years and like, you just can't keep cooking the same meals all the time.
No. And that's important for being healthy. You have to learn to create rotation and change ups.
Yeah.
Like my girlfriend and I got busy, get bored. So once a month now, we don't do it weekly or biweekly. We do that HelloFresh.
Oh, do you like that?
You know, I've tried HelloFresh and I've tried that Blue Apron company. Not a fan of Blue Apron. They just literally just chuck the shit in the box. And I'm like, really? Like, I open the box up, there's just crap everywhere.
I was wondering about food quality with these places.
I mean, again, everything is supposedly sourced, farm fresh, local. They're not all the companies guarantee organic. Most do. There's so many pre-boxed food companies now. But the one cool thing I like about, and right now, HelloFresh is still my winner. So free plug to them. But
nice.
Because the meals that you get, they're all pre-sorted. So when I pull the bags out of the pre-packed, ice-filled, you know, whatever box for shipping, so everything stays good, it's like, oh, here's your poultry meal. Here's your seafood meal. Like everything is separated. Whereas I open up like Blue Apron, and it's like a hodgepodge.
Is this the thing where they just send you the ingredients and then you cook it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the one thing I liked about it is I really suck at seasoning. I usually just buy like, I used to buy just like the pre-mixed seasonings that just had like, oh, this is for burgers, this is for steak, this is for chicken. I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, until you found out what was in them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's now, okay, can I go buy fresh basil or fresh mint, you know, things of that nature. So the cool thing about those is that they are putting in all the fresh herbs. And so it teaches you to start working with their recipes that are, they do involve seasoning. So,
yeah, I mean, herbs are very important. Seasoning is very important. Acid is very important. That's why certain things have tomatoes, or like a rich dish will have some acid, like a vinegar in there to cut the richness. Like all of these flavor components work well together to give you that perfect flavor, you know?
Well, the cover of your book actually, isn't that tomatoes in that recipe with the zucchini spaghetti?
Yep, that's zucchini noodles, tomatoes, salami. It's actually a spicy zucchini pesto, pasta with pesto. And
pesto.
Yeah, homemade pesto.
That's good.
At least if you're in California, you still probably got another few weeks of that really pungent fresh basil to make yourself some homemade pesto.
Oh, is that a thing this time of year?
Yeah, basil's really good in the summer. But you know what? I guess if you get hothouse basil, it's going to be fine.
See, and not to take away from that recipe, but really the one that I just shared recently that I all over social media was your chicken cauliflower rice. Because I love how the fact you actually, you kept the name rice in the name. But that's
people
why
get,
it made me click
get
on
so
it.
People so confused. They're like, this isn't low carb. It has rice.
I'm like, no, she just threw that word in there. It doesn't mean there's actually rice in there.
I try to put it in quotes so people will figure it out, but still people don't figure things out.
Well,
I fielded a lot of interesting questions.
It made me look.
I have it in my fridge. Tori, who comes over and helps me with grocery shopping and helps me prep these meals, prep these new recipes and stuff. We didn't have time to make a new meal, but I said, will you make the chicken cauliflower rice for me? And she did.
Nice.
That's the only time I ever have somebody else cook for me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always the one doing the cooking. So Tori comes over once a week and I have new recipe ideas that I want to try. She goes to the grocery store. We make some stuff. She helps me prep it.
Well, I like it because you are actually incorporating in another healthy fat source, which is coconut oil in the recipe and almonds. Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge almond crackhead. Like I'll just crush almonds every day. But the coconut oil, kind of reference back to our bulletproof man, is he's all about those MCTs, the medium chain triglycerides. And it's like, listen, you don't have to go buy the high-end bulletproof MCT oil. I mean, MCT oil is coconut oil, just whatever he's done to make it.
What do they do? They just extract the MCT from the
coconut. I have no freaking clue.
Here's where I get confused. MCT oil, fine and good. I mean, I buy it. I put MCT oil and coconut oil cinnamon in my coffee every morning.
Same here.
And a little scoop of bovine collagen, and I do that in the Vitamix, and it whips up like a latte. Mm-hmm. And so it's my version of the dairy-free. It's the dairy-free version of a bulletproof coffee. But No, because I didn't want to use the word bulletproof because I don't know if I have permission, so I didn't put it in. But it's not my website, so you can get it for free. Yeah. AnnaVicino.com.
That's it.
And the cauliflower chicken fried rice is not in the book either because I invented that one after.
Oh, so that'll be in the next book.
Yeah, that'll be in the next one.
Okay.
But it's on my website, so go get it. But I think about that and then I'm like, well, doesn't that mean that MCT oil is like super refined?
Right. So this goes back to. And actually, this was one of my goals to chat with you because you're the cooker and you got the recipe book and you're with the man, Vinny, who's very anti-processed. Like I am a protein powders user and I know that he's very anti-protein powders.
I love the bovine collagen.
Yeah.
It agrees with me so better than any, probably because I was having whey protein and look at that.
Well, yeah, you're so sensitive to dairy. You got to find a different source. So,
yeah.
But that's my question. It's like, okay, there is... Obviously, there's good and bad ways of processing. And like, for example, I don't know if you know this term, but in the protein world, most protein companies are, their proteins are all denatured. They're not undenatured.
Right.
So the nutrition company that I work with for my side business, it's all undenatured proteins. So they're, and I didn't know what the hell that meant until I finally Googled the heck out of it, talked to the science teams behind it. And the long story short to that company is they say, listen, we cook it in a very, very low temperature to extract the whey in its purest state. So it's not been overly processed, which is why a lot of people have issues with using proteins like that because they've been so processed. And this, again, I'm not a scientist, but this goes back to people saying, oh, well, don't you have to take probiotics and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, that's the best part is that the way that's been processed, like everything is still there. Whereas all the other stuff that I've used in the past isn't. So that goes back to the MCT oil. It's like, okay, are you overly processing it? I don't know.
Well, that's my next question that I'm going to investigate because I want to find out about that, because we know now that the processed seed oils and canola oil are very inflammatory. Obviously MCT oil is not inflammatory, but I'm just curious, like, well, but it seems very processed. So are there delineations? Again, it's got to be about like what you're saying, how things are processed.
And that's the biggest thing is like, you can look, I was really happy a few years back when Time Magazine finally put on the cover, like a picture of fire and they're talking about inflammation, you know, killing America, you know, I'm like, yes, and more yes.
Well, what's funny, I'm glad that they said that too, because I remember when that came out, because I think inflammation is a big like mystery, because people are like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's like when you're, like after you have a hard workout, your muscles are sore and inflamed, but that's a good kind of inflammation that once it heals, you're now stronger, right?
Exactly.
Like you're intentionally giving your body inflammation.
Yes.
So, but what about, my joints hurt and, or my stomach is achy all the time, or I have IBS.
Well, that's the prolonged inflammation. That's the dangerous stuff.
Exactly. And it's like, it's really hard to describe what is inflammation. Well, it's like whatever is happening in your body does not like it.
Well, I can actually give you
a look.
I can give people a perfect example of this. So since you live in California, you guys, well, you're just used to it, but you know, wildfires very well. The wildfires of California are always burning. So I like to relate to fire because that's what's going on inside of your body. And I used to be a wildland firefighter, so I can personally connect to you.
Oh,
guys.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that was fun. It was crazy, actually. But yeah, so I was stationed a couple times in California back in 2010 and 2011.
Whoa.
So you guys know how to, you guys have a lot of fire.
We know how to light fires.
And put them out. So, but the best part was
amazing.
My knees used to be killing me because I was on one of those elite hotshot crews. So we were doing, you know, 16 hour shifts in the mountains, hiking with, you know, backpack full of gear, chainsaws, you name it. So there's a lot of beat down on the body.
Yeah.
And, but the biggest thing what I didn't realize was I was eating whatever they fed us at the fire camp. They said the average Sawyer on a hotshot crew burns between 7,000 and 10,000 calories a day. So I was like, okay, so I'm just going to pig out and this is going to be awesome. But I would go to bed every single night camping under the stars. My knees were throbbing. I mean, I would literally fall asleep with my knees in pain, and I was taking joint supplements to try and figure out, you know, was that going to work? And
like the MSM and the chondroitin,
MSM
or whatever it's called.
Yeah. All that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it helped because technically the science behind that is it's supposed to rebuild your cartilage. And I'm sure Vinny can talk to something about that because he's had his shoulder issues too.
Sure. Yeah.
But the long story on that is just that I stayed on joint supplements for probably 5 years.
Really?
I've been off of joint supplements for a year and a half now because I cut the bread. I cut the grain.
Whoa, that's crazy.
I'm not a scientist. I'm just speaking to what my experience has been. So
wow.
I don't have, I literally, even if I'm not firefighting anymore, because that was a 2 year adventure when I left the corporate world, I just went and did that and got out of my system. And, but it was like, huh. That's interesting. I wonder if I can go off the joint supplements and see if this is still an issue.
Right.
And I would literally get knee pain on long road trips. I don't get that at all anymore.
Oh, just from sitting in the car?
Yeah. Depending on the angle of the seat. So when I had a Jeep Wrangler, I had no issues because the way the seats are designed. But then the other car I used to have, he said, it doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter what car or how long. I'm a big road tripper. I have no knee pain. So I'm like, okay, I don't know. I mean, is that what happened? I cut the grain, I cut inflammation, I cut the sugars. I personally, myself, that's what I think. So
if you don't have to take the things anymore, I think the proof is in the pudding.
Right. So now
in the grain-free, sugar-free pudding that's probably made with chia seeds and coconut milk and cacao. That's what I think the pudding's made of.
That's a good pudding.
Yeah. I have a recipe for a couple of different puddings.
I've never been a big pudding
guy. Eat Happy, gluten-free, grain-free, low-carb recipes for a joyful life.
Oh,
now for sale on Amazon. I'm subtle.
I love it. But no, because yeah. I told people, I've been blowing you up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
I appreciate that.
I mean, that's all we got to do. Like, if it's something that I believe in, I will blow it up. And you deserve that. I mean, this cookbook
is
ridiculous.
By the way, I want to be clear with everybody, too. Half the recipes have dairy, half don't. But none of them are intentionally dairy-free or intentionally dairy-full. The ingredients honor the recipe. And you know what I'm saying? Like,
so people start complaining.
Well, I just think that some people, that's why it's not necessarily a paleo cookbook, but it's definitely low carb, and it's definitely grain free, and it's definitely gluten free. So that's why those three phrases are on the title of the cookbook. There are 8 dessert recipes. There are 10 or 12 dessert recipes total, but 8 of them have some form of sugar in them. And they're specifically for a splurge. They're not for like eating every day.
That's what I was going to ask you next, since because I don't really draw myself towards desserts.
Right.
If I get done with a really amazing mountain biking trip down about a half an hour south of me here, there's like a local grass-fed dairy supplied ice cream shop. So that's my little put life into living, you know.
That's nice.
But I was going to ask you, like, you are putting desserts out there, so there is going to be some sugar. Well, now, how are you telling them to source the sugar?
First of all, having a cookbook without a dessert section is, to me, unacceptable. I love cookbooks. I have a bajillion cookbooks. I've had to give away some of my cookbooks because my husband got mad that I had too many. But so, you know, I know what I wanted out of my cookbook, but I also know that, like, life is life. And like, you're at Thanksgiving, you want to eat pumpkin pie. You know what I mean? And you should be able to eat pumpkin pie. So what if I can figure out a way to make pumpkin pie that's entirely grain free and it has literally the least amount of sugar in it to make it work and have it still taste good?
That's pretty
amazing.
That's
like, then you're not hurting yourself. Like you don't, you're like, screw it. I'm just going to have this Sara Lee pie. You know what I mean? I have found that, first of all, I made that pumpkin pie recipe so many times before I got it right. And I tried with no sugar and pumpkin, and it was weird. It tasted like, it smelled like pumpkin spice, but then it tasted like air. Like it had no flavor. And it, so with baking, there is a chemistry that sugar is just as involved as the flavor profile of whatever you're making. There's a chemistry to make all that come to life.
Okay.
So, and egg and texture and all that stuff. Custard. So my philosophy is you're going to have a bite of pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving. Why not make it the best pumpkin pie that you can have? You're going to have to make, you know, you're going to have a birthday cake for yourself or somebody else at some point. I don't think we can all go an entire year without having that happen, right? So it's like, or you want a cheesecake or you want to have a thing for when people come over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because you're doing it doesn't mean that it's okay to force it on everybody else.
But here's the best part. Can I get my mom to follow your recipe? Any tips? Because I had hers last year and I had a headache the whole drive home because I'm that sugar free. Like it's
that was my
first wake up call when I started really aggressively going NSNG. Hour and a half later, almost 2 hours later, every time I've been there for holidays and having desserts now, Thanksgiving and Christmas, I've gotten
this literally just
headaches.
Happened to me. My friend who I haven't seen in ages invited us over to watch the debates, and I told her, I was like, I'm literally not eating anything. And so, but she had made a puttanesca sauce that had turkey sausage in it. So I just scooped a bowl of that and ate that, and that's fine. And then she said, but I got you these gluten-free vegan cookies. So if it's vegan, it doesn't have the dairy in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but sugar.
But I know. And I was like, oh, thank you. And so I kind of like took them and she's like, aren't they good? And, and I was like, and I ate them. And I was like, I felt the worst headache.
Yeah.
And I realized it's because I'm not used to it. And I'm also not like, first of all, a lot of these desserts, when they cut out a bunch of stuff, they add so much sugar to them to overcompensate on the flavor.
One of my biggest arguments with, I'm not trying to bash vegan. I have one of my fellow CrossFit coaches. She's a vegan. She's very strong. But I look at a lot of their recipes and there's a lot of sugar.
Oh, there's a lot of, those cookies were sugar sand. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest. And I'm very well versed in vegan baking and vegans because I've had to not have dairy. When I couldn't have dairy, eggs, or gluten, you know what I mean? Like, you're not left with a lot. So it's like, sand, usually like rice flour, which is the consistency of sand, rice flour, almond flour, and sugar, and some flax substitute eggs. And it's very, you have to put a ton of sugar in there.
Well, I'm going to have to, I'm going to get that recipe over to my mom because they've been slow. It takes them like a year to listen to one tip. So my dad's
parents are tough, you know,
it's too close
yeah.
to the vest. And
it is.
But my dad's type 2 diabetic because of his lifestyle. He never was.
I know, and it's like, oh, it's so hard.
He became that 7-8 years ago. And I'm like, Dad, you weren't always that way, which means we can fix this. And I put him through some detox programs that I personally go through, nutritional detoxing and cleansing yeah. and stuff like that.
I like doing those. I know Vinny's not a fan of them, but I like doing those one or two times a year.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm like, dude, I do them probably once a quarter and I feel amazing. So, and my dad dropped probably 30 plus pounds over 3 months. He blamed my program because he didn't have enough energy every day. And I told him, like, you're on medication. Like, you need to be going in monthly to your doctor. I don't like my doctor. So
I said, well, I know. It's so tough
so
to get.
So finally, 4 or 5 months later, after he went off of my programming, he went back to the doctor and they said, oh, yeah, you're over medicated. We have to cut your medication down to a different.
That's what was draining his energy.
Yeah.
It was too much. Oh, interesting.
I was like, okay, reason why is because you're all out of whack. Like you.
Because the medication was trying to bring his blood sugar down and he already had brought it down yeah. through diet.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So,
yeah, I'm not as familiar with the type 2 diabetes, but I am very familiar with the autoimmune stuff. And my stepmother has lupus. She's had rheumatoid arthritis, RA, since she was 18 or 19, and she has lupus. Because usually if you have one autoimmune thing, you're definitely predisposed to developing another one. And because like celiacs will develop Hashimoto's, you know, which is a thyroid thing, or
right.
MS will have celiac, or you know what I mean? Like there's different crossover that happens because your immune system's generally messed up and just keeps attacking different parts of the body. So, and my stepmother has had so many health issues. And I told her, I was like, you know, it can't hurt just to try. And I didn't even say grain free. I just said, just try gluten free.
Yeah.
And she knows how I've had to eat over the years. And she's like, nope. I was like, okay. Yeah.
No, I've had friends respond the same way.
I'll keep suggesting it, but yeah. You know what I mean? You can't force your will and your way. And that's one of my biggest regrets with my mom is that I found out I had celiac because she was diagnosed and she was so sick. And she did cut out gluten, but she was always still really kind of sick. And then when she went into the hospital for surgery, she got a MRSA infection and passed away. And I wish that I had been more forceful over the years saying, you got to cut out all this sugar. It's making you ill.
And you know, that's such a heartfelt story, but at the same point, it's like we can only do so much. That's one thing I had to start accepting. This is like we talked about at the beginning of the show here about you saying, you know, you only help so many people, they got to be willing to listen. The same thing with my parents. I just had to pull back. I said, listen, you guys can tell, like everybody looks at my family and they're all overweight. I don't look like anybody in my family.
Interesting.
And I told them, like, this is not genetics, this is my lifestyle. That's what you need to realize.
And so, I'm from the family of all fairly small people, you know, they could put, wait, the most we ever pack on is 20 or 25 pounds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, there's a little bit of denial, I think, that happens when, you know what I mean? Like my husband, actually, who's very fit, got back some bad blood work. And I was like, good thing you got it now.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't continue on your diet of Ben and Jerry's and pizza for much longer.
Well, we could do a lot of things in our 20s, but.
Yes. For sure.
Things change. So, and that's the thing. You got to reprogram the body, man. You got to reprogram the lifestyle.
Yep.
And that's what I'm really excited because I know your book just, how long has it been out by now? It's been.
Well, the Kindle version's been out since the end of July. And okay. The hard copy is going to ship Tuesday, August 4th.
Okay. Well, then I'm ordering another copy and I'm going to have it shipped to my mom. So that's going to
thank you.
That's going to be my subtle, hey, this holiday season. Could you check out that book I just sent you?
Well, the thing is, there are lots of good recipes in there regardless that you would want to make for dinner. So if she sees like, oh, you can eat this way and not feel like you're missing out on anything.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll like it.
That's what I'm hoping. So that's all we can do. I mean, we can provide them the tools. You have now helped us gain one more tool to that healthy arsenal. And all we can do is slowly turn people onto it. And people will, as you said earlier, people will start listening when they're ready and hopefully sooner rather than later. But, you know, again, all we can do is hope and dream and hopefully people will start.
Hope and dream.
That's it. Because again, like per your tagline on your book, it's for a joyful life, people. Are you eating happy? Because I know I am.
Yay. Well, thank you.
But Anna, this has been awesome. I'm so glad I was able to get you on the show. I was actually ecstatic just having you being able to do the intro outro because I've listened to you and Vinny for so long. I'm like, that's so cool that I have her voice on my show.
That's awesome. Well, I'm so glad. Well, thank you for having me.
Well, now we got to get, I told Vinny and I haven't told Vinny directly, but I've told our other compadre. I said, listen, man, we got to get all you guys on in different episodes because we need to talk about Pure Vitamin Club and more about the show and just get more people knowing about this stuff. Cause I'm always sending people over to you guys.
Thank you.
But hey, thanks for coming on the show today. I will tell you guys, if you have not heard enough about eHappy on this show today, please come back and listen to this episode again, or just go buy the book because it's on Amazon and it's digital through Kindle. Or again, the physical books are now shipping. So if you like beautiful, glossy, high color pages, then that's the way to go as well. But Anna, I know I already follow you on Twitter with at Anna Vocino. Is that pretty much the same tag for everywhere else?
Everything, Instagram. All the social medias, the Instagram, yeah. The Facebook. I think Facebook is real Anna Vocino, but my blog and my mailing list are the best way to keep in touch. So
AnnaVocino.com. Because I remember you had a different website before and then you finally said, screw it, I'm just going with my name because that's your brand.
Yes.
That's who you are.
Yeah, I got to keep it on brand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
on brand is one of those things that drive me crazy that people say.
I'm a stickler for branding because I'm a marketing guy, so I have to back that a little bit. Yeah. So, but that's, you're doing a great job with it. I'm telling
you. Thanks. So, okay. Am I on brand?
You're on brand.
Okay, good. Brand awareness, hashtag.
Admittedly, I don't use that term, so don't worry. But for today's show, we'll be happy. Yes, you are on brand.
Okay, good. Phew. Thanks.
Well, I like to close out the show just so people have, we've already sent so much messaging over this show, but I think it's important just to have someone have a final note. And I'm not into the quotes or stuff. We're just saying, you know what? Is there a message in the big picture scheme of things that you're trying to put out there above and beyond this book, the podcast, everything else you guys are doing? Like what is a message that you just want to leave our audience with to help them with their lives?
Probably that we make far too much of all of this. There are, you know, the weight loss industry is like a multi-billion dollar industry and we're overthinking it. Cut out the sugars and grains, make that your foundation. Everything else is just tweaking it to your body and then go and move your body and exercise and spend time with your children. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's all very simple stuff and we make far too much of it. So don't overthink things. And the other thing I would like to say, because I think women especially are very hard on themselves if they cheat, and I'm using air quotes, I'm doing finger air quotes here. If they cheat or if they fall off the wagon or whatever, I'm so tired of us beating ourselves up. So just get back on the wagon. It's fine.
We all get knocked off once in a while. You got to get back on. Well, there you go, guys. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Anna Vocino, today's co-host. Thanks for listening in. Again, you can follow her everywhere at Anna Vocino. Go to AnnaVocino.com. Get the book, Eat Happy. Thanks again for tuning into the Live the Fuel show. Again, guys, we're here to fuel your health, business, and lifestyle. Keep living the fired up, epic life. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up, epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.